This call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you, and you may begin your conference.
Thank you.
Thank you ever so much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information PDP Working Group call. On the call today, we have Wanawit Akpotre, Meysu Chyapim, Peter Reinwolf, Yobi Tefakasset, Pitinan Kwamanpatana, Chris Dillon, Siti Korn, and Wolf Ulrich Knobem. We have apologies from James Galvin, Lindsay Hamilton-Reid, and Peter Dernbach has warned us that he will join the call late today. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Mary Wong, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much. And we need to pick up agenda point three as usual, which is just to cover whether anybody has a change in their statement of interest since the last meeting. I'm not seeing any hands or hearing anything, so I think we can safely move into point four, which is the main point of today's meeting. So I'm hoping all of you will have received the document that's on the screen, which was circulated, I think, about 3.5 hours ago, something like that. So I'm sorry you didn't have longer to look at it. And what it is that it was a sort of an attempt that I started after the London ICANN meeting, actually to draft some recommendations. The recommendations are for various questions that come up within our charter, within the working group's charter, but also the expert working group asked us some questions, and we ourselves identified some areas that we thought it would be helpful if we had additional questions. So the draft you see in front of you was originally just an attempt at answering all of these questions, and then I shortened it because I found that quite a lot of it was duplicating itself, so I took out all of that, and so the result is the 8 pages that we've got in front of us. And as I mentioned in my email earlier on, the idea is that today I will present it to you. I'm not sure how long that's going to take. I'll have to do it quite slowly. There will probably be time for clarifying questions, but I think the idea we've had is that they probably need to be clarifying questions at this stage this week, and looking at the reasoning behind the recommendations, perhaps, rather than the recommendations themselves. However, next week, the idea is to have a discussion, and I'm hoping that a lot of the discussion will be on the mailing list. So that means that some of you will look at this and you'll find things that that are not right. And so what I would like to encourage is that people send comments in, because that will make creating new drafts of the document easier. Obviously we can, of course, discuss during our calls, and I think that basically the call next week we can use for the discussion. The call on the 7th of August, I'm actually out of the country, and I don't think I'll be able to join that call, but it may be possible if Rudy is free for him to do some work that week. That's not ruled out. But what I'm planning at the moment is to do the discussion on the on the 31st of July and on the 14th of August. We may well have other issues when we get into August, because it does tend to be a month where it's very difficult to get people together. But yes, I think that's basically what my battle plan is at the moment. And just before I start presenting the document, I'll just ask quickly whether there's any question anybody would like to ask. Okay, well, seeing none, let us start. So, I should say right at the beginning of this that although I've put my name on this document because I did draft the first version of it, actually several members of ICANN staff, including Lars and Julie and Marika Konings, have provided a lot of input, and I should really say thank you to them for that. But anyway, after that, so the idea of doing this is to, as I was saying earlier, to try draft responses to the various questions, also specifically to try and make some recommendations, and out of that, all sorts of discussion will come. And one thing that I have already noticed is, as I said in my earlier email, I had been thinking that we had read everything. We have spent, as you know, many meetings reading documents together, commenting on them, working out whether there is something in them that we need to pay attention to, this sort of thing. We've spent a lot of time on that, and I had been thinking that phase was more or less at an end. However, doing the drafting, I have noticed that there are at least a couple more documents that we'll probably need to read, not necessarily all of them, but, you know, at least, the relevant pieces. That might be a good thing to be doing in the not-too-distant future. And that then brings... I might as well start using the mouse because we've really done the beginning of it now. There's nothing very... Petter, can I answer your question?
Yes, sorry. It's maybe in the original document, original topic, but I just have a question about what you have stated on the working group deliberations. The purpose of transformed data is to allow those not familiar with the original script to contact the registrant. I was not sure that it was so straightforward.
Okay.
I would rather say that it's to reach the contact information or to read the contact information.
This is actually a very good it's a very good question, and this is actually something I'm aware of. That sentence does need a lot of. It's amazing, actually, because I think in the whole document that sentence is probably the one that is most difficult. I think that that's going to generate a lot of discussion, and we actually probably need to go back into the expert working group's final report, which talks about purpose in much greater detail. However, at the moment, I think all I can really do is present this to you, and it's really funny because I think you've probably identified possibly even the most important question already. But but as I say, it does require quite a lot of work and probably revisiting that document, I think.
Yeah, but we can assist together to see what we can find in the original one.
I think it's probably I would expect to be doing that next week. It actually comes back to haunt us further down in the document, because the word purpose is used later on as well. Okay. I think that's probably all I will say about that, because the other thing there is that the word accuracy also needs to be expanded, because depending on the purpose, the accuracy could be different. Okay. Now, the next thing is consistency, and this is really saying that, if you're talking about very large amounts of data, lots of transformations going on, consistency becomes an absolutely huge issue. I mean, even if you're using very, very strict guidelines, I mean, if we took transliteration, for example, if we're using a particular transliteration, it's actually very difficult to get really good consistency right across the languages, very large data set. Then we go on and we say that, so the third point here is that basically it's more likely that if registrants put data in their own language, that data will be accurate. So if I put data into a database in English, it's more likely that it's going to be accurate than if I do it in another language, just because it's my mother language, and I spot errors more quickly. That's the idea behind that. Okay, so then we're looking at contacting registrants. And this is really the issue of, even if we had a situation where contact information were provided, for example, if we had a contact information that was in Chinese, the data would be much more usable if we knew that, this part of the contact information is the person's name, this is the organizational name, and this is the address. So it's really stressing the necessity to have some sort of splitting up of the fields and labeling. And actually, it might be quite easy to at least provide those labels in other languages. That's much easier than transforming data. And then we end with basically the costs of transformation would be much higher than can be justified in view of its potential usability. Again, this is going back to what we were saying before, that we're talking about a lot of languages, huge amounts of data. Accuracy raises its head. To be able to be accurate enough for some of the purposes. And purposes, of course, takes us right back to Petter's point, because I think it is true that does need to be defined better than it is at the moment. Moving a little further down, even if a transformed version of the data were available, Actually, it doesn't mean that the person who has, the organization who has provided it can actually correspond with somebody. I mean, let's just use English for an example. So, you know, if data has been provided for an organization in English, it doesn't necessarily mean that we can communicate. I mean, to be able to provide data in English and actually to be able to communicate by telephone or email or some method, it doesn't necessarily follow. This said, it is absolutely not the intention of this group to discourage best practice transformation. So it may well be that some stakeholders will want to transform data and contact information, and we don't want to discourage them from doing that. One interesting thing is that because we fundamentally said that or at least we're just about to say that it's basically not desirable to transform data, that may mean that we don't have a very, that we can't make very binding recommendations for what people do when, what people who want to transform actually have to do. That is likely to be an issue. Okay, so, yes. Now, one issue is that really, in order for transformation ever to be necessary, really you have to have a replacement to WHOIS, a new RDS, which has non-Roman script functionality. I mean, if the replacement system doesn't have that, then I think that is really the key part of it. So that basically registrants can enter, when there is a situation when the data are to be transformed, that they can enter IRD. And at the moment, that is an issue. It seems that it seems as if we are some distance from having an RDS with that kind of functionality. Then, and again, this covers the situation where transformation does take place. Somebody has a business case to transform. The United Nations made a recommendation that basically the Roman script should be used and Romanization should be used for transliteration. So that is worth quoting. And the reason they say that is that it is effectively a practical solution to the challenge of finding places reliably. Further down, there will be some other notes on stakeholder groups who want to transform contact information, but we'll come back to that a little later. And I slightly anticipated this next bit earlier, but anyway, probably one of the most important sentences here is this next one, which is, the working group recommends that it is not desirable to make transformation of contact information mandatory. Yes, that is a pretty big sentence. However, as we were saying before, we are saying that replacements to is should have the capability for storing it for those stakeholders who do have a business case to do it. But it goes rather further than that, in fact, because we are also wanting to say, because of the reason further up, that even if money were no object, it would still be undesirable to transform. And the reason for that is the poor consistency and accuracy. Now, again, point taken, Petter was absolutely right to raise it. We need to magnify this and, you know, say now, there may be some purposes for which mediocre contact information are fine. That is possible. But what we are saying is that a lot of the time, for many purposes, it's just not good enough. Moving further on, okay, so this is really what we were saying earlier. So it is just a recommendation that any future GTLD directory service should be able to store IRD and also accommodate a transformation service for those stakeholders who want to provide one. Okay, then we're down to number three. So, again, this is a recommendation that IRD capability be added to any new directory service. And it includes also tag fields, and I think there's more information about those tag fields further down. But basically, you know, even if you've got a Romanized we're not talking about Romanized. Whether it's Romanized or whether the data are Romanized or whether they are internationalized data, we do need to know what language those data are on both sides. And yes, I think I'll leave the more precise things to later on rather than repeat them now. Yes, and we're saying tags for the address and... Oh, yes, so certainly for the address fields, and then separately, there should have been a comma here, really. They need date fields because it's quite important to know when data has been input because, if you've transformed data, but you've transformed an old version of the data, then it may be useless. So the date field is crucial. Okay, moving further down, recommendation number four. So the recommendation that registrants provide their contact information in the language or script that their registrar operates in. And again, that is likely to assist accuracy and reliability. But again, some stakeholders may want to transform the data, as we've said earlier. Then we come to another question. So this is the big question about the burden of the translation or transformation, in fact. And there's some information about where that question comes from. And just I think we can skip that little bit. And then basically, because we have said that it is not desirable to transform to have mandatory transformation, there is actually no need to make a general decision on the distribution of the financial burden. So in this model, what is happening is that stakeholders who have a business case to do it will do it, and those who don't won't. So that's really how that works. Now, then we get another recommendation, which is basically just summarizing that. We then move on to what exactly the benefits to the community are of translating or transforming effectively. And so what I've done here is I've presented some benefits, and I've then moved on to disadvantages on the next page. Transformation certainly to some extent facilitates communication, although there are some caveats there, as we mentioned earlier. And there is the general thing about good communication inspiring confidence in the internet and making bad practices more difficult. Then we've got the current situation, which I think we can summarize by saying English is the de facto international language, effectively. And the interesting thing here is that along with these recommendations, although it's not quite clear until we get further down into the document, but actually there are only two fields in the transform data that are English. One of them is the organizational field, and in fact, there are some cases where even that is not English. I'll explain that later on. And the other one is the country. The country is basically a drop-down, so the idea is that people select an English name for the country under these recommendations. So the fact that the data are in the Roman script actually makes them pretty accessible to speakers of other major lingua francas, and the ones that came to mind were French and Spanish, but you could almost have added Dutch and Portuguese, perhaps, sharing the same script. And the last benefit is the benefit to searching, because basically, if you're searching for data, you really have to do it language by language. So if you're searching a database, it's going to be quicker if stuff in the database is all in the same language. That's the last benefit so far. Obviously, we may decide to add more. And then we have the word however, and this is, again, quite an important sentence. So we've got however, these benefits are outweighed by the financial burdens that would be imposed on stakeholders. It is likely that the burdens would be large enough to make the expansion of the internet considerably more difficult in the developing world. And I think this is one of the main reasons for several of the recommendations in this draft. This is, yes, increasingly as the internet expands, it will be expanding out largely into populations where English is not the first language. People don't know English, so it is no longer as convenient as it has been until now. That's really the way of thinking. So, and then we have registrants should be able to submit contact information in his or her own language, or as we were saying above, at the very least in the language of the registrar. And in fact, that is the basic requirement, really. That should be fundamental. Something transformed is then something secondary, effectively. And then we return to the accuracy thing. So we're saying that, you know, if we are transforming huge amounts of data with these large number of scripts and languages, and a lot of it's proper nouns, this is actually a very, very large burden, especially if it's going to be halfway consistent. So out of that, as you would expect, comes this recommendation number 6, that ILD is the basic requirement for directories. Then we move into another question, and this is on the impact on the registrar accreditation agreement. And so, because transformation is done, you know, by individual stakeholder groups, there is a thought that it is unlikely that the RAA will be affected because they are making a decision whether to do it or not. Now, then, of course, sort of trying to deal with a situation where perhaps we've missed something, perhaps there is some kind of effect, and there is a quote from the RAA which is saying, registrar shall implement international ILD publication guidelines according to the specification published by ICANN following the work of the ICANN ILD working group and its subsequent efforts no later than 135 days after it is approved by the ICANN board. So that is actually there in the agreement. And then, and then we're saying that future RAAs should be written in the light of the policy of this PDP working group's final report. And there we're saying that specifically recommendation number 6 about ILD being the basic requirement, I think there is a concern that that could possibly affect future RAAs. Then we have the when question. So when would the new policy come into effect? And this answer is really presuming that we have some amount of the recommendations we make will have some binding force on stakeholder groups who decide to just transform data. We'll have to revisit this part of the document if our recommendations are not binding, it probably needs rewriting. But at the moment, we are saying that the policy should come into effect as soon as possible and at the latest with the introduction of a new internationalized RDS. And certainly, there is a concern that imposing policy before the introduction of a new RDS might create temporary solutions which are very expensive, and moreover, instead of moving data from who is into one RDS, you would be moving data from who is into an RDS and then into another one later on, the second RDS then being the one with the internationalized functionality. So basically, the idea in this drafting is to try and save money by really having one move, not two. I think that's part of it, and also to discourage the creation of temporary solutions, because there could just be so many of them. Okay, then we come over onto page 5, and we have an easy question. Goodness, there had to be one. So this is, what is contact information? What taxonomies are available? And we're just running with this definition, which I think everybody on the call is probably very familiar with by now. And there is also a link just to other similar definitions back in our wiki. Right. Who gets access to what information? Question 02. Fundamentally, according to this drafting, beyond the remit of this PDP, and the sources in drafting here are saying that whether the data are original language or transformed should not affect stakeholders' access rights to them. The question is picked up at greater length in the expert working group's final report there. But the drafting here is really presuming that only those with the right may access data, and that data protection and freedom of information principles have been correctly implemented. I think these things are quite a long way away from the remit of our group. However, this does raise the question of access to transformed data added by other stakeholders. And so, you know, if the sort of model that is being suggested in this document were to be adopted, what would happen is that, you know, there would be some stakeholders who may be transforming data. And what this is saying is that if that does happen, that basically, unless there's a good reason, that that data should be available to other stakeholders. If somebody's gone to the trouble of transforming the data, then unless there's a good reason, that should be made as widely available as possible. Okay, moving on to 03, who are the stakeholders, who is affected, and what do they want? Okay, this actually goes right back to what Petter was talking about at the beginning of the call. So it's really a matter of spending perhaps more time on purposes and you know, who wants what and what degree of accuracy, I suppose. But the existing work is as I've outlined there. The expert working group final report has a lot more detail. Then 04, so it's weighing costs and benefits. And here it's just, again, this is a bit of a summary of other work that's been done, but it's just saying that reliable transformation is expensive. Existing systems are inadequate. Then, again, the purposes thing raises its head, but for some purposes, accuracy is a serious problem, and anyway, less than 100 languages are covered. The point has been made that actually covering about 75 languages may be enough in many situations for our purposes. However, you know, my own suspicion is that, you know, okay, less than 100 languages are covered, and the ones that are covered really well, I think they're a very, very small number. Yes, I mean, more work required, but those transformation tools have made huge progress. I mean, just watching Google Translate develop over the last few years has been amazing. But it works very well with European languages. Even Chinese is fairly good. If you put Yiddish into it, as I think I've told you before, really you get total nonsense. So depending on the language, and the tool, yes, huge issues here. Now, developing systems for languages not covered by existing transformation tools is slow and expensive, especially with the translation ones. And I guess with the Yiddish version of Google Translate, the problem there is not many people use it, and so it takes a bit of time to learn and get better. And then there's another comment here. For purposes for which accuracy is important, transformation work often needs to be done manually, at least to some extent, or perhaps you run a translation tool and then you check it manually. And there's just point off to further information in the study at that point. Okay, and now we get questions from the expert working group. I'm sorry Jim is not on the call to hear this next bit. But we have been good and we have had a go at answering, I think, all of the questions. And maybe there was one duplicate, but I think most of them anyway are. There is something here. And to some extent, there is a little bit of duplication. So we're saying that registrars and registry operator systems must at least support the input of contact data in one of the official languages of the countries. And then saying it effectively, because these transformations depend on the particular stakeholder group, it really does depend on the business model. There is a recommendation that there shouldn't be an automatic requirement for registrars or registries to support English. As we were saying before, the next billions of internet users, many of them will have little or no knowledge of the language, so it's really that recommendation is bearing them in mind. Sorry, was somebody asking a question then, or was it just an echo? There's some strange noise on the line. Perhaps nothing, so let us continue. Okay, and then, so if registrants are required to submit a single common script version, are users expected to submit... Oh, yes, okay, so it's... translated or transliterated. Okay. So here, basically, as we've already said, generally transformation is not necessary. But here, there are some guidelines, and we don't really know what kind of status these guidelines could have, but this is basically saying... Now, if you're a stakeholder who does need to transform, then these are things that you might be interested in bearing in mind. And so this is saying things like, in cases when transformed data are input, the official English translation, that might be the one on the headed paper or in an email or on the website, should be used where one exists, but often they don't. If they don't exist, then transliteration would be used. So, apparently this is quite common in, for example, in China, that a lot of organisations actually don't have English translated names. So, in that case, you'd have some sort of pinyin version. Pinyin is the Chinese transliteration. And so that would mean that in that case, if you had a Chinese organization with no English name, organizational name, then the only field that would be English would be the country. Moving on, Addresses should be transliterated except for country names, which should be selected from the a drop-down list of English names. That's something we've mentioned before. As regards translations, the official one should be used, which I think we've actually already mentioned. So it's the headed paper or somewhere like that. Transliteration, so of addresses, for example, should follow the rules in a national standard of the language, where there is one. If there isn't one, then you follow the standard of a related language using the same script. So, you know, if there weren't a standard for Urdu, you might try and use the Arabic one. Now, obviously, there are some problems with that. Addresses are transliterated except for the country name, which is given in English, which we know about. There may be issues with letters that do not exist in the related language. So, for example, Urdu has particular letters which do not exist in Arabic. So if you're using an Arabic transliteration for Urdu, you'll be in trouble with some letters. Or with letters that are translated differently depending on the language. So again, Arabic and Urdu actually pronounce certain letters completely differently. So I think what may be a rather strange-sounding D in Arabic is a Z in Urdu. So there can be quite major differences. Okay. Oh, yes. It may be possible reliably to pivot. So this is automatically transliterate between alphabetic scripts. So, for example, between the Roman script and Cyrillic and Greek. This would not work with Arabic because Arabic often doesn't write short vowels, and with Neo-Brahmi, which again sometimes doesn't write short vowels, especially in the Hindi case if they're at the end of words, in fact. But no, generally speaking, there is still an issue with short vowels, although it's not as big an issue in Neo-Brahmi as it would be in Arabic. Okay, now the note we've already covered, English only occurs in two fields, possibly only in one. Moreover, the list of countries is quite short. That could be quite easy to translate into other languages. Then we've got the thing about transliteration being easier to automate than translation. Yeah, that's true, it's quicker. And so there are quite a lot of reliable transliteration systems, and it's quicker to develop them for transliteration than for translation. Now, I just need to pause for a moment because I've realized that we only have 8 more minutes. That means that we can't really do much clarifying, so what I might ask is there anything urgent? Is there an urgent clarifying question, perhaps, or any urgent aspect of other business that somebody would like to raise? Okay. Hearing nothing and seeing nothing in the chat room, I'm intending to use our remaining minutes. Well, perhaps I shall be slightly naughty and try and get to the end of the document, even if we do go very slightly over. try and do it and just see if I get in trouble. Okay, so let's go back to what we were doing up near the top of the page. Now, admittedly, some parts of addresses would ideally be translated. So, for example, Bangkok is a lot more useful. Bangkok is a translation. It's much more useful internationally than Krung Thep. You know, a lot of people don't know where Krung Thep is. However, usually it's the other way around. So if you start translating addresses, you get into very bad trouble very quickly. You translate Beijing as northern capital and Tokyo as eastern capital, and nobody knows what you're talking about. And now, the thing here is that it's not easy for automated systems to know when to translate or when not to. And it's not just the city field. This could be an issue throughout the address. The sort of contact information recommended in this draft would be usable for postal purposes. I mean, there would be issues. So, at the bottom of the letter, it would be saying Krungtep, Thailand. It would be nicer to say Bangkok, Thailand. But you know, this is just the situation we're in. Okay, E3. So it's basically what support registrars and registry operators are expected to provide. Within this model, again, because it's not mandatory transformation, stakeholders are doing it because they have a business case to do it. So therefore, there shouldn't be a burden on registrars or registry operators. E4. If registrants are required to submit a single common script version and, so is there a requirement that they match each other, these two versions of the data? So matching is required for some purposes, for legal purposes, for example, and for validation or some sorts of validation. Here, with translation, it's really very difficult to match because you can legitimately translate things in different ways. There are just so many examples of that, it's difficult to know where to begin. But you know, with translation, there are always many possibilities. And even if you're saying, well, give me a literal translation, actually it doesn't help very much. It's really hard. Literal translations just tend to be less natural. And so, that sort of adds a sort of an unnatural aspect to them. Something rather constructed. On the other hand, it would be possible to say, is this the official translation of that organization? So Beijing International Hotel, is that the official translation of that Chinese hotel? You could say yes or no. Might be a little bit of fuzziness, spelling, things like that, but it should basically work. Then as long as the same transliteration is being strictly used for a language, it should be possible to match two transformations of the same data. So if you use the same transliteration on the same data, it should come out the same, theoretically. I think maybe that word strictly should be in bold, because, you really do have to follow the rules for, this is two words, not one word. There's a hyphen here. There's a space here. It should be written together. There are actually lots of very small things that can make a difference. On to E5. If there are two versions, which is the primary one? The original language. The original language may well have features that the translation doesn't. Transliterate a Japanese name, for example, you know he's Mr. Kaur, but you only know how you write his name because Kaur could be written in many different ways in Japanese. You only know if you can see the original data that he uses a particular character. We've done that. That's good. On to E6. If transform versions of the data are required, how will data be maintained simultaneously? So here we're talking in more detail about language tags, which are needed to indicate the language of addresses. These are supported in RDAP, but not in EPP, apparently. each language version needs to indicate the validation status of the data. That's not possible with either of them, EPP and RDAP. So has this been checked or not? And yeah, we're going to need to work on this because there are different sorts of validation. We'll need to come back. Addresses need to have a date field to indicate when the data were input. Yes, we've already talked about that. The functionality is supported in EPP, but not in RDAP. It is possible that three or even more languages could be required in the directory. So you'd have the original languages, you'd have English, and conceivably somewhere like Singapore with four official languages, it's conceivable that people may want to provide more than one of them, although English is one of them, in fact. Okay, E7 and site is the end. For company and individual name, should translation or transliteration be required? And we've actually done this. So for organizational names, official translation should be used, otherwise transliterations. A tag should indicate the language of the organizational name. Minor thing. Oh, yes, I possibly should have put this next bit in earlier. For individual names, the form preferred by the individual should be used when that is available. Otherwise, transliteration. So, people are, you can write the same name in many different ways. My uncle, who publishes a lot of books, is never very consistent, and so it must be, it would be very, very difficult to know what his name is, because every book that he publishes has a different name on it. Well, it's the same name, but he represents it differently. So eventually the answer to it is, when there is a doubt about a person's name, you actually have to ask the person, yes, I was born Christopher Dillon, but I haven't used Christopher Dillon since 1983. I am Chris Dillon, and you don't know that unless you watch what I'm doing, what I'm writing, or you ask me. Okay, and then finally, when data are not transformed, it's just a few other things that actually didn't come up in the questions. When data are not transformed, the provision of translated field names in the future RDS would at least indicate the relevant parts of foreign language contact data. I think I did mention it actually very briefly above. The data need to be tagged for language so that it is clear which transformation should be used if it is required. And then issues that we are left with right at the end. If WHOIS is replaced by a system without ILD functionality, there will be pressure from the non-Roman script world for that system to be replaced, and so you then end up having to set up two RDSs in quick succession, very expensive and to be avoided at all costs. And last but not least, work is now required to support stakeholders who transform contact information so that a future RDS will have the necessary functionality that they require. And we're barely over the hour. I am sorry that the presentation took much longer than I was expecting it to, but I felt strongly that I needed to go through it slowly, I hope all of you have been writing down questions, and please feel free to email me questions about any aspect of what I have said. And so the questions will be used to create a new version of the document, and that version will be circulated shortly before next week's meeting, and then we can have an open discussion. Okay, well, I think we are done for today. If anybody has anything very urgent, then please feel free to raise it. Otherwise, I am looking forward to emails about the document, and as I say, the aim is to have a majorly improved version in time for next week's call. Okay, well, thank you all very much for attending today, and as I say, I look forward to your contributions.
Thank you for your good presentation.
Not at all. Bye then.